Hello. 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 Oh, hello. I thought I was just congested, couldn't hear myself. But how is everyone doing? Yeah. Merry Christmas! Doesn't it feel Christmassy? Yeah. Jesus is our gift. Amen. And we are a gift to each other. Amen? So I'm so excited. Let's look at the pronouncements this week. Okay, Women's Bible Study this Wednesday at 9:30. Give me a shout. Awesome. I love. Look at this picture. They all look so shiny and radiant and joyful and caffeinated. Awesome. If you want to join that club, you're welcome. Ladies, come on. 9:30, Starbucks on 106 and Pacific. Oh, this Tuesday, also another reason to get caffeinated, come to the 6 a.m. prayer. Okay, so if you are, like, you need to leave to work at 6:30, you still can come for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it doesn't matter. So 6 to 7, we'll be praying together. And yeah, and this is another reason to drink coffee. So, hallelujah. So 6:30 this Tuesday. Please come, it's at church, okay? Prayer training class will start January 7th on Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. So first Tuesday in January, we'll start prayer team training. So if you have taken Living Free class and wanna learn more, you're welcome. If you wanna freshen up, you're welcome. Okay, let's see. Daniel fast. Who is excited to eat healthy? You know, I took a blood test and I have high amounts of level of cholesterol in my blood. I did not expect that, but Daniel fast, hallelujah! I will eat green. Okay, so we start January 6th and we'll talk about it more so you can learn what it is and how to do it and when to do it and all this stuff, okay? Okay, let's see. Oh, Christmas party! Okay, guys, do you remember when is it? Okay, this Thursday in four days, 6:30 p.m., we will be celebrating Christmas together as a church family. Okay, we'll have St. Nicholas coming too, and we can take pictures. We will have a ugly sweater contest. I mean, this is not ugly, right? So you should do better than this, okay? So this is not ugly. But also, your catwalk counts too. So if you have sweater cute like this, but you are very creative how you walk and present it, you might win. And there are very serious, amazing prizes, okay? So also, there will be a rap battle. So someone is going down, 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 downtown, and someone is winning. Woo! So, and it will be all fun. We will see how many talents we have. We will be rapping for Jesus. Not like rapping presents, but like rapping. Yo, yo. I'm practicing. Okay, so it's a potluck style. So come bring something that you like to make for Christmas. So we all share food and share cheers. So 6:30 this Thursday, 6:30, ugly sweater, St. Nicholas, and epic rap battle. Amen. Okay, let's see. Oh, let's stand up and worship.
I hope you realize the theology of what we have been singing. This is biblical. Ephesians says you are seated next to Jesus Christ, who, by the way, is seated at the right hand of the Father. And the right hand of the Father is a place of authority. Now, we can all agree in our brains, oh yes, Jesus has that place. He has that authority. Well, guess where you are seated? Not someday, not when you're good enough. Scripture, the same book, Ephesians, tells us it's not by works that we are saved, lest any man would boast. And the language that says our position next to Christ, this position of authority, is present tense. It's right now. This is where we are. And I didn't want to pass by this verse in this song. Irene, could we back up a couple slides to when I open up my mouth? Yes, miracles start breaking out. We've established biblically that you have the authority. Now, I know there's a little battle of belief versus unbelief. We all struggle with that, but let's set that aside for a moment. Wouldn't it be heartbreaking to pass this moment and we didn't open our mouth? You have the authority, whether you believe it or not. When we open our mouth, miracles start breaking out. But what if we don't open our mouth? Nothing's going to happen. So I didn't want to get past this and say, oh, what a great song. I wanted to open our mouths. I wanted to shout, and I want miracles to break out. So lock in right now. What miracle do you want to ask God for? What miracle could you use right now? Right now. I mean, not something you could achieve. We're talking miracle. This is supernatural. This is above your ability. This is something that's hard for you to even believe for. Yeah, that's a miracle. We're going to open our mouth. And we're going to believe for that. We're going to believe for salvation. We're going to believe for freedom from addiction. We're going to believe for healing of uncurable, unhealable things. We're not going to get past this point and not open our mouth. We're going to, at this point, open our mouth and call out the healing, and then the rest is up to God. All right? Are you ready? All right, let's call it out. God, we believe you. We are calling out for miracles. Miracles of healing. Miracles of deliverance. Miracles of freedom from addiction. Miracles of restoration. Miracles of financial freedom. Miracles of legal freedom and solution. Right now, God, we open up our mouths and we cry out for miracles. Come now in Jesus' name.
It's present tense, right? It's present perfect, right? It's already happened, done deal. Bible says in Psalm 91, because you have made the Lord Most High a dwelling place, and you say, you are my refuge. No evil shall befall you. I think it's really a wonderful passage there. Because when you say, I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge. Because you said that, no evil befall you. It's the same Old Testament and the New Testament. It's really same. We serve same God. God has been same in the yesterday and today and forever. Amen. And because you are already sitting in the right hand of God, the Pastor John, we just led us to the wonderful thing. Remember when Israelites were gathering in Wall of Jericho. Walls were not going to tumble down. It looked like for 7 days, it looked like a mighty fortress. But at the seventh day, what happened? When they shout, wall came down. Wall came down. In the name of Jesus, any wall that around you shall come down when you shout. Amen. Amen. Let everyone say this. Lord, you are my refuge. Lord, you are my refuge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the wall come down. Let Tacoma revival break. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ushers, come. Let's really pray. Let's really worship. Not only with our hearts, but with the material. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we are so delightful to be in your presence once again. Lord, we acknowledge we are seated next to you. And we are more than a conqueror. We are not a victim anymore. We are not fooled. We are not going to be fooled by the lies of the enemies anymore. We see in our spiritual eyes, our eyes are open, and we're seeing ourselves sitting next to you and more than a conqueror. And we are like, Lord, we are like you. We are more than a conqueror. We are kings and queens, and we are children of God. And thank you for the wonderful, wonderful status in Christ. In Jesus' name, Lord, we worship you. Receive our worship. Receive our offerings. And this is our thanks to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow. Another hand, huh? Woo-hoo! Wow. Cecily, that was amazing. Wow. Last time it made me cry, now this time. It was beautiful to see our children worshiping the Lord. Amen. All of us, we're all children. And so that was beautiful, Cecily. We want to hear more. So why I'm up here is that we're going to have some more I am statements. And so Lauren and Amanda, there you are. Okay, and as you know, what we do, we have a class called Living Free I see a lot of new faces. Come on. Oh, both of you. Come on. We'll have you both. And so we have a class called Living Free. And at the end of the Living Free class, we pray for every student and we find out how God created them. And so they're here to declare and to say to all of you how God created them. All right? So Amanda wants to go first, I think. No.
Can you hear me? Okay. Here we go. I am chosen and set apart.
Can you hear that? Okay, hold it closer.
I am an encourager of others.
Amen.
I am a jewel in our Father's crown.
Amen.
He is with me and he walks with me.
Amen.
I am his treasured possession.
Amen.
I will stand for his truth. I am protected. Amen. He has broken my chains. I am set free.
Amen. Woo-hoo! Whoa. I'll pray after you. Hey, Lauren. This is Lauren.
Hi. Hi. I just wanted to share a little bit something else, too. I've been kind of struggling between expectations of what following Jesus is supposed to look like in my mind and how I want to be with God like a child. So I just wanted to share this just in case it blesses someone. I said, Lord, I want to wear fancy dresses and dance with you before the Lord, before the world and speak truth like Catherine Coleman. And he said, okay, I'll make you into a deep worshiper. More. I'm beautiful, strong, bold, confident, victorious, a leader belonging to the King.
Amen. Woohoo. Wow. Now, this is how God created them. If anyone else has an original design and they want to share it or share a testimony, come to me and we'll set it up, okay? Okay, I'm going to just pray a blessing over these two, all right? Father, I just thank you for how you created each of these amazing women, Amanda and Lauren. And so, Lord, Holy Spirit, we just bind every demonic assignment sent against the two of them. And Lord, we just agree with every word and the more that you've spoke over them. And we just say, Father, fan into flame the gifts that are within them. And we just give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah. Woohoo!
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Amen. Wow. Oh, wow. It's been a full afternoon already. I think I have the church calendar. Some things that are going to be very different this week as far as our Christmas potluck, 6:30. Please come. And if the potluck thing is cumbersome to you, don't worry. There's always plenty. Just come. It's more important that you are here and enjoy the fun and the fellowship. But before we get there, remember 6 a.m. prayer, bright and early. And we didn't announce this earlier, but it's on our calendar. The women are going to meet this Saturday, and their time is 9:30, I believe. So ladies, come to your monthly meeting here, and then you're welcome to join the outreach that happens after that. Also, you can see on the calendar a couple things on the radar downstream. We will have a New Year's Eve service. This is combined with Living Grace Church, and it will begin at 7:30, probably go about an hour or so. But then we reset, take a break, get a snack, and 24 hours of prayer will start at 9 p.m. And it will go from 9 p.m. New Year's Eve to 9 p.m. The next day. So you are welcome to come, go, come back, leave and come back throughout the day. If you're traveling around, stop in. It's always an amazing job the prayer team does to decorate the sanctuary and put prayer requests for all the ministries, the Church of Tacoma. And so what a great way to start the new year, the best way to start the new year, and that is prayer. And if you could only do 20 minutes, amen, be blessed. But if you can do longer, the church is gonna be open and there will be people here for that span of 24 hours. So. And Christmas Day, I thought there was one more. Yes, that's going to happen on the 25th this year, I guess. But I think the announcement they're wanting me to make is we will have a free dinner, just like we did on Thanksgiving Day. And that will start at 1. So if you have nowhere else to be or nothing else to do, well, come help us. Come earlier. We'll be here probably around 11. But also check in with Pam or Dennis if you'd like to contribute to that, because we just want to offer a free dinner, no strings attached, at 1 p.m. Christmas Day. We will be here. So please come join your church family. And again, no time constraints. If it's a little, if it's a lot, you're welcome anytime from probably 1 to about 4. We usually start cleaning up. Okay, I think that's it for the announcement. Oh, one more kind of family news, which I'm super encouraged by hearing Cecily's worship. Didn't that just, is it, I don't know why that's so emotional to me, but it really is. Maybe I've seen her grow up and hear her worshiping the Lord. But a bit of family news. Jesus has received a promotion in a sense. He is going to be moving next month to a church in Edgewood, I believe, north of Seattle. Edmonds, okay. I knew it began with an E, so it's up north. So this is, by the way, natural family growth, meaning we as a church in the body of Jesus Christ want to equip, want to grow, and want to send out. And so, yes, we will miss Jesus and his beautiful family, but we got another month to enjoy him. And Cecily, the job is open, so wherever she went. I thought, man, okay, let me talk to you before January 15th. That's the perspective that the Lord has just given us, that, you know what, this is family life. This is, children are supposed to grow up. I love, Marcia jumps up here and says, our children, you know, Cecily's a young adult here. But for those of us that are older, that's the perspective we see everybody with, and that's how we think. But the point being, this is a family, and it's very natural, and it is God's design that we grow and get promoted and go on to the next. So church family, a bit of that family life, we will definitely have a commissioning service for the Garcias in January. But I wanted you to kind of be aware of the changes, the things that are happening. I've been doing a series, this is week two of a three-week series, on just the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And I'm doing it for several reasons. Number one, we as believers need to understand how significant what our culture is celebrating. Whether they understand it or not, we need to understand it. We're the Christians. We are the church. We are the ones that have a voice. But there's many other applications to this. And number one, I want you to know how significant you are. And this time of year, you may be battling with that. You may kind of feel, I just don't have the money for all the, you know, fancy stuff, and I can't compete, and, you know, comparison comes in, and you're looking at what the world says you're supposed to have and buy to be happy, and it's pretty easy this time of year to feel a little insignificant. And you need to know, if you've heard any version of those lies, that number one, they're lies, but this is what the enemy does. This is his MO, this is his tactic to come against us. And, you know, we're all in a different place in a different season, but can I give you God's truth? Let's start by taking our truth pill. Our truth pill today is you are significant, all right? So no matter what else you have heard or what that voice in your head is trying to say or all the other influences, start with this. No, it doesn't match up with this truth from the Word of God. I am significant. You are so significant that God interrupted history, left his throne in all his glory, and humbled himself to come to earth. He did that for you. He did that for you. Wow, that is pretty darn significant. I don't know how to add more emphasis than that, but to say, you matter to God. We matter to God. And his thoughts, even before creation, was on Tacoma, Washington, was on you and me. And being God, he has the capacity to do that throughout the ages with all of his creation. Today we're going to look at a few more verses in John 1. We're going to skip ahead to John 9 through 13, but we're also going to look at Isaiah 53 towards the end here, which is for many reasons going to emphasize how significant we all are. All right, remember John 1:1 starts with this kind of prologue that is very poetic, and sometimes we skip over it because the analogies will get confusing, but I just want to read it to you as we start to understand and define what each of these lines mean. In the beginning, the Word already existed, meaning Jesus has always been. He's not created like you and I have a start, a beginning. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's very significant. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him. And nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness. And I love this promise. It's very reassuring to me. No matter how bad the headlines get, no matter what issue or trial I'm going through, I remember this. The darkness can never extinguish the light. It's going to try. It's going to not give up, but it will never win. The light is here, and the light is in you. Now, we covered this last week, so I'm not going to go over every one of these bullet points, but I just want to put it in front of you again. If you missed last week, you can listen to it online, but if you were here last week, you're going to remember that each one of these things we've learned just from that prologue, and it's very significant. Number one, it's Jesus Christ is the one who expresses who God is. We can understand God. We can learn about his character by understanding who Jesus is. God is not far off. He is not a mystery. He is not so hard to understand. The one that expresses God in his character is Jesus Christ. But don't forget, he is God himself. And he is the giver of eternal life to those who believe and the bringer of light into a dark world. And I want you to do both today. I want you to understand the application to each of us personally, but also I want you to kind of think globally how significant this is to the whole world and throughout human history. He's the giver of grace to those who receive them. I, for one, am very thankful for that grace. It is amazing grace. It is grace that is due every day. It doesn't run out. The unique son sharing an intimate relationship with his father. And as much as you and I might try to understand that relationship, and maybe you had a good father, maybe you had a good relationship with your father, maybe you didn't. But can I say the earthly standard is not the heavenly standard. The heavenly standard is something different and something that we should look at and understand and go, oh, wow, this is love. This is trust. This is promotion of the other. This is what it's supposed to look like. He is the bearer of heavenly truth and an example of overcoming the world. That darkness has tried and tried very hard to put out that light, but that light is imparted to us and the darkness cannot overcome it. The expression of God's glory in the fullness. Jesus experienced that. He was there. He is there again. And he has a place for you and I. These are all things that we established last week and talked about. And so this week I want to go on a little bit and just have us understand this event where a dark place, a dark world, people moving in unbelief, people moving in all sorts of evil. Yes, we see all sorts of evil now, but that's not new. That has been going on for centuries. And man had the same sin condition, and it was very dark, literally, spiritually dark. And this light broke into the world in the first century. I built this little graphic just because if you think this is an insignificant event, do you realize that our whole human calendar is set up around this event? You know, and I know today they have CE for Common Era and BCE for Before Common Era. That's just for people that don't want to associate with the Christian. AD means, this is Latin for Anno Domini, which is in the day of, or the year of our Lord. And so this is before Christ, this is after Christ, and the event, the centuries, you start counting either back or forward from this little event in Bethlehem. Wow, that's significant. And if you call it BCE, go ahead. It doesn't matter. It's the same exact point that no matter what you call it, all calendars center on. That should be a clue to us. That should get our heads scratching and go, wow, what happened? Why are our whole calendar for all these centuries centered on this insignificant little place and this one event? And that's what we want to talk about, starting with John 1, verse 9 today. The one who is the true light, who give lights to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. I underline that. Wow. Think of something that you created. Think of something you had authority over. You could do with it what you want. Well, Christ is the one that created everything and yet left his glory to become man. And the heartbreak of that is that man did not recognize him. Chose not to recognize him, actually, is how I would say it. He came down to his own people and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. This is the section I want to cover today. And if you remember the Gospel of John, that preamble is pretty important because, as we just read, his own people did not receive him. But there's a parallel in the Gospel of John. And as you read later chapters, you'll start to understand it. It gets expanded on. And this one happens in John chapter 4, verse 41. And it's where John and the other disciples had left Jesus at a well there was no woman there when they left, but they come back. And there's a Samaritan woman there talking to Jesus. And so he has this firsthand account now of Jesus talking with the woman at the well. And many more believed because of his word. This woman leaves Jesus, goes back to the town, which she was kind of an outcast for her to be there at that time. But she comes back, brings a bunch of people with her, and they were saying to the woman, that's who we're talking about, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe. This woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, is really the Bible's first evangelist here. She met with Jesus. I got to go tell these people, even these people that don't like me. And they believed enough to at least come. Now, isn't that interesting insight to levels of belief and how that works? And if you are here today, thank you. God bless you for being in church today. You have a level of belief or you would not be here. Now you may think, are you talking to me? Who are you? Nah, I don't know that I believe. Well, evaluate why you are even here. Now these Samaritans, they believed enough to interrupt whatever they were doing and say, well, let's go check it out for ourselves. And then they heard Jesus speak. And that's where we're taking up the conversation here, and they're saying, wow, it's no longer because of what you said, which I think was pretty convincing, but we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. After 2 days, he went forth from there into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Jesus' own people did not receive this message. He talks to an outcast Samaritan woman, and a whole town believes. Okay, these are the outsiders. These are the misfits. These are the half-breeds. These are socially and ethnically looked down on. Oh yeah, prejudice, biased, that's not a new sin. Man has been struggling with that since creation. So it was definitely here on steroids, and yet these Samaritans, these outcasts, they believed. The Galileans received him, having seen all things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves also went to the feast. They were there, and they saw for themselves. Now, this really reminds me of what I talked about on Thanksgiving, but my wife, this little proverb has been coming up for her, and we've been kind of praying it. Proverbs 20:12, ears to hear and eyes to see, both are gifts from the Lord. I don't take that for granted. You don't take that for granted. You may look at your life and you may evaluate it. Oh man, I messed up here. Oh, I'm a goof up here. Oh God, how can you forgive me again here? But you have eyes to see. You have ears to hear. Not everyone has that. That is very significant. And God is not looking at your works, lest a man should boast about his salvation. God's grace has covered you with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. What God is looking at, oh, you can see this? You can hear this? You believe enough to, you know, set your tape machine to record the Seahawks game and come to church instead? Wow, there's a level of belief there. You have ears to hear. You have eyes to see. They believe because they heard his word. They believe because they have seen these things. Wow, a lot of other people also heard. A lot of people also saw. And yet they're not there saying, you are the Christ. You are the Savior of the world. I don't think I forget. Maybe that's why I'm making such a big deal about it, because I don't want us to forget how significant us being able to say that is. How significant it is for us to sing these songs and declare, God, you are the Savior. You are the Christ. That I don't take for granted. This is a graphic I found, and I wanted to show you, because if Mary and Joseph were in Nazareth today, in Bethlehem today, I thought this was a very clever illustration. Because think about this event. A very young, Middle Eastern-looking couple, right? They don't look like what you and I always see in illustrations. They were Middle Eastern. And this is kind of what, we were just in Bethlehem a year ago, and people looked like this. And they would have been poor, and they would have been pregnant, and they would have not known anybody. And the town would have been stuffed, and there would be no place to stay. Okay, so far the story seems like common. The story seems like, what is significant about that? Why would all of history mark our calendars based on a young couple like this? Isn't this like a dime a dozen? Isn't this a story that we see played out in so many different versions in so many different ways? Something is different. There is a light coming to this world. I asked this question, all right, how would you know? The innkeeper didn't know. Pregnant Mary and young Joseph are there saying, hey, can we have a place? They're like, no, the inn's full. There is no place. Man, if you really need to crash, go around back to where the animals are. But he didn't recognize. I think the innkeeper's answer would have been a lot different if he would have recognized and said, oh, you are the one, right? Hey, the presidential suite, let me kick the president out and have you take that room. The shepherds, they had to be told by an angel. They're out doing their dead-end job. They all of a sudden get interrupted. An angel walks into their camp. They had to be calmed down from freaking out. But man, I'm like, Lord, interrupt my life. Send an angel. I don't want to just be doing business as usual, walking distance away from something as significant as this that is going on. If Jesus is the light, how can we see before we have the light? The analogy is correct. Yes, light means revelation. Yes, it means you need the light to see, or else it would be difficult for you to have that revelation. But you know what? I like to build this case starting with the Magi in you. How did they find out? You know, this time of year, we always talk about those three kings, which they probably weren't three. There's probably more of them. But there were three gifts. And these guys had to travel from a long distance away, and they knew. And I've researched this because I'm like, Lord, how did they know? And there are some obscure prophecies that talk about a star in the east and talk about this coming king. But wow, I believe it goes back to the book of Daniel. I believe it goes back to the ministry of Daniel. And I think that's where these rulers were from 500 years later. They were influenced, and they were watching, and they knew the signs enough to follow them. I don't want to be one of those guys where God is moving, and I just miss it. You know, it's like happened across the street, and all I had to do was cross the street, and I could have been part of it, but I missed it. Well, this is a good question. You know, how would we know? Here's the story of the Magi. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem was troubled with him. This news spread. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of all the people, okay, look at this. Get together all the religious authorities, all the smart people that you know. He inquired of them, where was the Messiah to be born? They said to him, They knew. They had the answer. So this is like, you could have known. If you were really academic, if you really studied, it's like, wow, yeah, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. For this is what is written by the prophet. And I believe this is the prophet Micah. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Now, I know what you're thinking. Most of us are like, whoa, I'm not that academic. I'm not studying, you know, ancient literature. I'm not looking at prophecies. I mean, this could be foretold and I wouldn't know, you know. So, yes, granted, that category would be very difficult. But I really think this is the question for us today. Not how would you know, but how would you respond if you do know? I think that's the right question to ask, because we are in an information age. Most of us, me included, have several versions of the Bible on our phone, carrying with us. We have resources, we have search engines, we have commentaries at our disposal. You don't even have to work. But more than that, I don't want to discount divine revelation. Because I think those magi, yes, they were pretty smart guys. And yes, they were astronomers. Yes, they were looking up. Every time the sky's clear and I come home and it's at night, I always look up. I always just say, God, the wonder of your heavens. I just want to pray. I don't want to run inside and miss your creation. Which, by the way, this is my little belief system. God, I believe you created all that for me. Yeah, there could be life out there. We can discuss that in a different sermon. But I know my God, that he could create all that and would create all that because of you and me and how significant we are right here. All right. So let's ask this question instead. If we did know, how would we respond? Because here's what I want to suggest to you. God wants to be known. This is not supposed to be difficult. This is not supposed to be a mystery just for the academics, just for the people studying, you know, ancient prophecies. God wants to be known. Now, if you start with that premise, things start to change. And I believe you hear God's voice more than you realize. Now, I teach this around the country all year. And I stopped even trying to explain to people that they hear God's voice. This is usually what I say when I start teaching. I say, if you don't believe that you hear God's voice, come talk to me after my teaching, and in 5 minutes, I'll be able to walk you through that you are hearing God's voice. And nobody takes me up on that offer. I mean, a couple have, but usually they come up and they say, oh man, I can't do what you do. I don't prophesy the way you do. I don't hear God's voice. And I'm like, oh, do you have a favorite Bible passage? Oh yes, I do. Yeah. Oh, what is it? Oh, it's, you know, John 3:16 or something. I'm just paraphrasing a bunch of conversations. Oh, why is that your favorite passage? Oh, it's like I can remember it. God speaks through me through it. I'm like, do you hear what you just said? God speaks through you through that passage. You are hearing God's voice. Oh, well, no, it's not. Well, do you have another passage? Yes, I do. I have this. Do you have a song? Yes, when I hear this song, it's different to me. That song means something. I go, why is that? Well, it's like God speaks to me during that song. Okay. So can we put a bookmark in the argument here and kind of just go on to how do we recognize God's voice more? That's really what I want to talk about. Because I heard God's voice all my life and just kind of discounted it. And yes, there are opposing voices that are very loud, and I think we can all recognize those. But when you start to know God's character, you can start to put, okay, this is not my flesh, this is not the devil. This voice that is saying love somebody that's unlovely, care for somebody that needs care, that's not from me. I know me. I'm pretty selfish. That's not from the devil. He doesn't want somebody to be healed. Oh, thank you, God. I'm starting to recognize your voice. And again, the greater question is not do you hear God's voice, but what do you do when you hear it? And this is the same question I'm making to you. What do we respond with what we know? And remember Romans 1:9. We've been studying Romans, so this is probably familiar to you, but Romans 1:19 is from this premise that God wants to be known. They know the truth about God because God has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Now you and I can say, oh, well, wait a minute, we have science. You know, we have all these opposing theories of where all this stuff come from. Yeah, you have choices. You can choose that if you want an excuse. But if you don't want an excuse, if you are really someone seeking truth, you're going to have to do a little bit of work. And as you do a little bit of work, guess what? God is going to speak, and you are going to realize that even this theory about a Big Bang, you know, there is no scientific theory about origins, by the way. Evolution just starts from something already existed. That's okay. Don't waste time with that. There is no scientific theory on origins, meaning where did everything come from, except, well, a Big Bang. We could just measure that everything started at once. Okay, where did that come from? Well, we don't know. It just happened. Oh, well, if you read Genesis chapter 1, God spoke and everything came into existence at once. It could have been 6 literal days. It could have been 6,000 years. It doesn't matter. That would have been an instant the way geologists measure things. That's the only explanation for origins, and that's what Romans 1 is talking about. Yeah, you can take the placebo, and you could use that as an excuse if you want, but don't be fooled. That's just an excuse for your unbelief. None of us will have an excuse when we stand before God. Remember the prophet Isaiah, and I apologize for this graphic, but I apologize because I don't like pictures of angels that are pudgy little baby type things. Angels, usually when they show up, freak people out, you know, they're like, ah! But for some reason, the art world loves to you know, depict angels and see. So this little angel has a tong, it might be hard to see in the reproduction here, with a hot coal in it. And remember in Isaiah chapter 6, yeah, that's a little freaky, isn't it? It's like, oh, look at this cute little baby. Oh, he's got a hot coal. He's going to touch to my lips. Whoa. Yeah, if that doesn't give you bad dreams, I don't know what will. So, yeah, it would be better if the angel was more warrior-like. But Isaiah in chapter 6, God said, hey, who can I send as a prophet to my people? Who will speak for us? Again, in the plural, having to do with the triune nature of God. And Isaiah says, very courageously, by the way, here I am. Send me. The Lord says, wow, Isaiah, you're volunteering this? Yes, except I'm a man of unclean lips. How can I speak for God? And God says, I'll take care of that. It's called redemption. And he sends an angel with a coal to touch to his lips and burn out the uncleanliness and qualify Isaiah to speak God's truth. You and I have been redeemed by fire. You and I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So all that to say, this prophet is one of Israel's favorite prophets, and it's a book that they read his prophecies over and over again. So remember, light does mean revelation, and it's God has been giving us revelation constantly, not only in creation, but special revelation or prophetic revelation we have had throughout the ages. So you really can know if you want to know. The question is, do you want to know, and what will you do with that? Christianity, basically the biblical version of Christianity, biblical religion, is the only supernatural religion. Did you know that? Meaning Christianity is the only religion that requires God to intervene. Every other religion is man-made and man-contrived and has it up to man to save himself. You got to be good enough. Pastor Michael was using as an illustration Thursday night, shamanism. You know, if you think inwardly enough, if you meditate long enough, if you, you know, I don't know anything about it. He was using it as an example, but okay, that's up to you apparently. If you can be fill in the blank enough. Not Christianity. It takes intervention from God. God has to interrupt our history. God has to save us. We can't save ourselves. This is not man-made up religion. This is not man-contrived. We need God, and we need God to interrupt our lives here on earth. Come, Lord Jesus. All right. So, the prophet Isaiah was a real guy. I like this picture because it's a little more realistic and makes him look like the friendly grandfather type guy that we all need and want in our life. And he lived in the time of Hezekiah. So this is a young Hezekiah. So there's an obscure passage in modern Israel that is left out in the yearly Tanakh readings, meaning this is the Hebrew Bible. And Isaiah, a very important chapter, is Isaiah chapter 53. Now, this right away should create suspicion in you because, okay, Isaiah is a really popular prophet. He basically saved Jerusalem. That's why I have a picture of King Hezekiah, because in the time of King Hezekiah, the city was under siege. And if it wasn't for Isaiah's prophecy and Isaiah working with King Hezekiah, the city would have been lost. So modern day Israelites love this guy. They go, yeah, and they read almost all of his book throughout the year, except one chapter, Isaiah 53. They don't read it. They skip it. Well, why would you do that from one of your favorite guys, right? I mean, that seems like you would want to hear all the prophecy. Before I go on, let me ask you that question. Do you really want all the prophecy? Because if you have just part, you're going to be missing some things. So you are a true seeker if you say, no, I want the full meal deal. Give me, yeah, don't hold anything back. Even if I don't like it, even if I disagree with it, I at least I want to hear it. Come on, let me work through it. Yeah, that's a true seeker, amen. Isaiah remains one of the most popular prophets in and his prophecies saved Jerusalem, yet not all of his prophecies are known. And I found this survey and some modern day responses to Isaiah 53 per 100 Jews on the streets of Tel Aviv. Now, in all fairness, Tel Aviv is, yes, Israel's political capital. It is very progressively liberal. But, you know, they're people just like you and I are people. And 100 of them were asked about this chapter, Isaiah 53. Most were unfamiliar with it. They go, hey, I grew up in Hebrew school. I had to do that every year, da-da-da. But I'm not familiar with that chapter. Yeah, because it skipped. All right. Some thought maybe Jesus. Yeah, that sounds like it's talking about Jesus. But then they were put off when they told it it's from Isaiah. Oh, wait, that's from our... No, oh, forget it then. I can't believe it if it's part of my Hebrew Bible. It wouldn't have anything about Jesus in it. Okay, most said this. I don't know what it's about. Some said this. It's too difficult to understand. The Jewish people, or perhaps Gentile nations, is another thing. Maybe it's talking about the Jewish people as a whole. Maybe it's talking about Gentile nations, which I'm going to read you Isaiah 53. And I'm going to have you decide who it's talking about. And I believe you have eyes to see. I believe you have ears to hear. Both are a gift from God. All right, are you ready? I'm just going to read straight through it, and then you form your opinion. This prophecy, Isaiah 53, who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. Nothing did attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows. Acquainted with deepest grief, we turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. Yet he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Does that sound familiar to you? There's more. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before his shearers. He did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. Pretty specific details here. Actually, if you keep count, there are several very specific prophecies that are exactly fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Let me finish. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. That's you and me. This is pretty significant. For he will bear all their sins. This is God speaking through Isaiah. I will give him the honor of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He became a man. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for the rebels. You and I are those rebels. You and I are the ones that all have, like the chapter said earlier, like sheep, have gone our own way. Figured we knew better than God. Many of us have been down that cul-de-sac and have turned around and come back out and say, okay, God, I tried. I just made a mess of it. I'm ready to do it your way. Last week I asked you, would you be willing to choose light? I know it's dark, but the light shines forth and it's right now. And choose life. Choose it. Some of you did last week. Some of you did during the week. I think the only thing to add to that is, God, we want to be part of what you are doing. And this is an artist's rendition of what I showed when that angel all of a sudden was joined with heavenly hosts, a choir of angels filled the sky. And they're saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men to whom he is pleased. If you have ears to hear and eyes to see, don't waste time looking at your sin, looking at your failure, looking at what you don't have. Look at God's glory. Look at how significant you are for him to send messengers, to send prophets, to speak to you personally, to give you a Bible. All of this counts as revelation very specifically to you. Thank him. I would, if you had a friend that dragged you here to church, I would kiss that friend and say, thank you for loving me so much that you took the risk to get me in here so I could hear the news, the good news of how significant I am. And here's what we're going to do today. I can trade my sin for God's glory. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a deal I don't want to pass up. Really, God, you will do this. And as you know, I like to overlay us down here because it's not shepherds on a hill just down the valley from Bethlehem anymore. It's us misfits in Tacoma, Washington, us rebels that God died for. He died for us rebels. So here's our closing question. Do you want to trade your identity for God's righteousness? This is how 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He made him who knew no sin, we just read this in Isaiah, to be sin for our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let's stand together. I want to kind of just prayerfully walk this out. I don't know how to do it. I mean, if we had sin in our pocket, I would say, well, let's pull it out and let's trade it. Let's give it to God and let's open our hands and take his righteousness and put that back in. But of course, that's going to fall short. We're talking about a spiritual transaction. But if that helps your brain understand what I'm going to be praying about, that's the transaction that is offered to all of us. And I don't know about you, but don't pass up trading in your sin for his righteousness. And yes, it doesn't matter what your day was like, your week was like, your month was like, your years up to today was like. And excuse the way I say it, but I like to say it this way. Get over yourself. It's not about you. Which means it's not about your sin. It's about his righteousness. And if you can hear that message and you can see this message, that means you have eyes to see and ears to hear. That's a gift from God. And that means let's take this free gift. Let's walk in this righteousness. Get your eyes off of you and let's get your eyes on him. Lord, I thank you for how significant this group of people is. And I don't know everybody in the room, but the ones I do know, it's just confirmation. It's amazing faith. It's definitely faith like those shepherds, but it's also Isaiah-type faith that says, here we are, God, send us. It's also faith that says, all right, I'm in this process. God, I don't see what you would want, but if you want my life, you can have it. Well, he does. He came to earth because of his love for you. He humbled himself. So let's us kind of say, yes, I receive that. And why don't you open your palms like you are receiving something? Just open, yeah. And first of all, I want to say, God, thank you for taking our sin away. It's not about us. And forgive us, Lord, for how we are so self-centered and how we always bring that back around. Because you paid the perfect price for all of our sin, past, present, and future. So, church, I think you know that doesn't mean, hey, you know, free pass, let's go out and sin more. No, I think you're at this moment saying, I hate sin. I don't want any more. So by having your palms open, it's like, God, touch that hot coal to our lips. Make us clean again. Cleanse us from the inside out. But having our palms open, God, we're saying, give us your righteousness. You really want to trade? We trade. We receive this. We say, thank you, Jesus. All glory to you in the heavenly host. We love you, God, and we worship you with all our hearts. And if you agree with this prayer, say the amen with me. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thanks for coming to church today. God bless you. See you Thursday for our Christmas party.